on a verse found in the book of Job. Job chapter 26 and verse 14. It fits in with what we read from Psalm 18. And it fits into the context in which we find ourselves. That context that I've been building up as we consider all the events in the Atlantic and the Caribbean today. Job chapter 26 and verse 14 has this powerful statement. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? These are but the outskirts of his ways. Harvey, Irma, Jose, Katia. Pleasant sounding names, but names all given to hurricanes that have lashed the Atlantic in the last few weeks, and particularly in this last week. Mexico, an earthquake that registered 8.2 on the Richter scale. Nepal and other countries in Asia devastated by floods. Winds of 220 miles per hour as part of these hurricanes. Rivers that have risen from a normal flow of 8 feet to 53 feet. What is going on? Some people would say it's simply hurricane season, which is a regular feature of the weather conditions in the Atlantic between August and October, climaxing in the middle of September. I hadn't realized that this was such a regular feature. As I said at the beginning of the service, for me, this series of hurricanes has been more significant, particularly because of the contact with St. Kitts through Henrietta and Fred. And we're grateful that there's been no loss of life in that context with them. Is it simply down to climate change? Is the carbon footprint of humanity becoming stronger and more irresponsible? And we could go down that track, or we could rebel against that and say, well, look, we have a creator God, and I believe that it is important that we acknowledge a creator God at this time. But friends, we don't simply abdicate our responsibility, because at creation, God said to us that we have a responsibility to care for his creation, for this world in which he has placed us. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, made reference to the creation and to our responsibility and to God's provision. And he says there in the Sermon on the Mount that he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And therefore, we are not to read into this context that we have here a picture of direct judgment upon these people. But if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find that when God took his people into the promised land, he gave them certain warnings. And he says, when he withholds the rain, it will be for a purpose. When the weather, the climate seems to go into chaos, then we need to be aware that it could well be the judgment of God. But not only does that happen in the Old Testament. Hear these words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 21. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth. Distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and the waves. people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, listen, now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Powerful words. Straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We are not to ignore these phenomena. We are to remind ourselves that we worship a Creator God. And I want to put that into a context using this verse that I've focused our attention on in Job chapter 26. I want to begin by reminding ourselves that the God that we worship is the God of earth and sky. The song that we have just sung says, "I, the Lord of sea and sky." But I want us to remind ourselves that we worship the God of creation. What makes these events in the Caribbean at the moment so significant is their size, their power, their frequency. Most of us will remember the Indonesian tsunami and earthquake in 2004. That was larger than this. It was 9.1 on the Richter scale. But we must be alert to what is going on. And we must pray for these people. And where possible, we must do all that we can to provide relief for those who are suffering. But I want to say to you this morning, don't simply dismiss this as a natural disaster. Don't think that this world is something that is controlling itself. God is still on the throne. God still reigns. God still rules the wind and the waves. And that's why I read from Psalm 18 this morning, because we have those powerful pictures of God ruling and using creation according to his purposes. Now, when we think of 8.2 on the Richter scale, 9.1, when we think of winds of 220 miles per hour, it's overwhelming. Most of us have not lived through earthquakes of that size or experienced winds of that force. But look at what Job says in Job 26:14. These are but the outskirts of his ways. They are powerful, but they are just on the edge of the power of our God. I don't say this lightly, but in actual fact, these are localized, because God has put a limit on himself. Remember what he said after the flood. He says this, "I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." Yes, these events are horrendous. And we need to thank God that we are not suffering like this. We need to pray for these people. But friends, this is just the outskirts of the way that God is able to work. He could do more, as we saw in the events of the flood. But the verse goes on and says, "How small a whisper do we hear of him?" Now, I don't know if you've seen any of the television reports, but they've tried to give you some idea of the winds. And the winds are horrendous. And if you've ever been near the sea at times like this, or on an average storm, gale force storm or something like that, you will have seen, you will have heard the power. I know there have been times when I have stood on pebble beaches in a storm, and you hear you see the waves rushing up the beach, and the stones get picked up, and then you get this thunderous clatter as the pebbles roll back down the beach. That's just in some sort of storm force wind. But when you think of the noise and the roaring that there must be in this context, in these awful hurricanes, the Lord says, how small a whisper do we hear of him? He is capable of much, much more than this. And then the third statement says, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? If what is going on in the Caribbean at the moment is but a whisper, what would his thunder be like? What power would be contained in that? I don't know if you've ever been in a thunderstorm when it's right overhead. Usually we see the lightning, don't we? And we can count for a few seconds and we can work out how far away it is. But I can remember on one occasion seeing the lightning and hearing the thunder at once. I tell you what, it was frightening. The power that was in that. I remember a friend of mine as well in Papua New Guinea. He wasn't actually struck by lightning, but as he walked to his home one evening, the lightning struck the ground near him and it knocked him off his feet. Friends, this morning, let's stop and let's consider the greatness and the power of our God. This is not a God of human creation. This is not a God that fits into the pantheon of some false religion. But this is our God. I, the Lord of sea and sky. Alongside this, we have seen a little bit of power broking. I say a little bit. It's a frightening amount of power broking with the North Korean situation and the United States. But friends, I want to remind you this morning, this is the power of our God. He has the power to raise up these huge and these mighty winds. Will you turn with me to Isaiah 40 and just see some of the pictures that Isaiah uses there to remind us of our God. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. And here Isaiah is trying to describe the God that we worship. He firstly says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. And I don't know if you've ever tried to cup water in your hand. How much would you contain there? Even with hands like mine, if you can hold a dessert spoonful, that's about as much as you will get. And yet, this world, and we're told that 71% of the world is covered by water, Isaiah is saying God has held that in the cup of his hand, who has marked off the heavens with a span between your thumb and your little finger. How much can we measure? Again, with a large hand, it would probably be between 8 and 10 inches. And yet this universe, which science as yet has not found the end of, we are told that God simply spreads out his hand and he is able to measure this whole universe. He's enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure. The ladies going round with a dustpan and brush. They've spotted a bit more, something that they'd missed when they were hoovering. They go round, they sweep it up into the dustpan. And that is the picture that we have got here. The vast soil of this earth, it is all just contained by our God. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. When we were on holiday recently, we were walking along a beach and the cliff was hanging in such a way that you got this picture of an overpowering presence. Now, that is just one small cliff on the west coast of Wales. But God has got all of the mountains, all of the hills. He measures them, he weighs them. Friends, this is our God. And friends, I want to say to you this morning that when you look at the Caribbean, we have to say, this is our God in judgment and in warning. Now, I'm not saying that the people of the Caribbean or the people of Florida are any more guilty than any of the rest of us. But God is saying, wake up. It's time to listen. This is my power. This is my authority. So we have started here looking at the power of our God in creation. The power, the God of earth and sky. Now, I want you to turn with me now to the end of Matthew's Gospel. And I want to show you this same God. And I want us to see there, we want to see him as the God of death and of life. The God of death and of life. The same God who has displayed but the edge of his glory, shows his power, not in destruction, but in resurrection. Now, many people see Christianity simply as a spiritual experience. My heart, my life has been changed. And that is important. It is vital that that spiritual experience happens in the life of every person who lives here on earth. But friends, I want to tell you that Christianity is an incredibly earthly, I failed to think of words to describe it, but our salvation was worked out in natural and human experience. Because it was worked out in the experience of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was worked out in the phenomena of this world. Let me take you to Calvary. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. We see an incredible power in the Caribbean at the moment. But the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, there was a supernatural eclipse. There was a darkness that could be felt. Why? We'll go on to the next verse. About the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "My God," or "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why was there a supernatural darkness, a supernatural eclipse? Because there was a supernatural separation. For the first time in the whole of eternity, there was division between God the Father and God the Son. There was not enmity. There was not conflict. But there was separation. Why?
Because
God the Son had taken our sin upon Himself. For the first time in the whole of eternity, the one who knew no sin carried our sin, the sin of humanity, the sin of His people, the sin of His creation was placed upon Him. And there was revolt in the creation. There was a revulsion. There was a darkness. Why? Because sin is so powerful. Sin is so vile. Sin is so destructive. It is so destructive that it killed the Son of God. Look at verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. And what happened? Verse 51. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Creation seemed to be in chaos. Why? Because the Creator, the Sovereign God, was subject to the consequences of your sin and of my sin. He was subject to the consequences of His own law. Creation, which day by day had lived in obedience to the voice of its Creator, was thrown into confusion because the Creator was subject to His own law and killed because of the sin of you and I. Friends, if you think what is going on in the Caribbean today is tragic, what happened at Calvary makes that pale into insignificance. Why? Because He loved us. And He died to save us. He was buried. The power of God shook the earth the day that the Lord Jesus Christ died. But hallelujah! There was another earthquake. And go into Matthew 28 and verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Why was there a second earthquake? Well, the answer is given in verse 6. He is not here, but He has risen. Friends, this morning, let us thank God that yes, the Creator carried the sins of the world, but it did not finally crush Him. While He was subject to death, He has been raised from the dead. And I've shown you this morning two examples of the power of our God. The power of God in creation, which is still at work and is able to create these huge storms, but that same power which poured out its judgment on the Son of God and then raised Him from the dead. Christ is risen. Death has been conquered, we have sung this morning. Why? Because of the power of our God. We have seen the God of earth and sky. We have seen the God of death and life. I want to show you, finally this morning, the God of salvation. Why? Why are we seeing these earthquakes? Why did the earth shake and rocks were split on the day that Christ died and rose again? It is because God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. At a time of difficulty, at a time of disaster, the services will put up signs in the road. Stop. Diversion. Turn back. Don't go any further. The road has collapsed. The bridge has been washed out. And that is what God is saying to us. Don't go further in life this morning. Don't carry on. Don't you see the power that I have in judgment? But don't you see too the power that I have in salvation? What is God saying to us this morning? God is saying, I do intervene in history. I did it in the greatest way when my Son came into the world. But I do it time and time again in order to get people's attention. Because I want to show my grace. I want to show my mercy. I want to say to sinners that there is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier, I was reading some of the warnings about straightening up, about preparing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you some of the events that will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Friends, even though God has spoken so clearly in the Bible, in creation, in what we describe as natural disasters, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he has spoken so clearly in these things, there will be people who rebel against this and say, I don't want it. But what will they do when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all his glory? They will want to run away. They will want to hide. They will realize that even though they flew in the face of God, yet they have got no answer. I want to say to you this morning, don't hide. Don't run away. But turn to him and be saved. Let me give you a couple of examples from Scripture. Thomas, around the same time as the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, was missing when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he said that he would not believe unless he could put his finger into the nail prints in his hands and thrust his hand into the wound caused by the spear in his sides. When Thomas eventually saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't stand there saying, yes, I'm going to do this now. He fell before him and he said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, blessed are you because you have seen, but more blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, he began his Christian service by distributing food to the needy. But he concluded it by preaching one of the most powerful messages in the New Testament. And as a result of his sermon, he was stoned to death. But as he concluded his sermon and people prepared to stone him, he said he looked up and he saw the Son of Man. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of power. Neither Thomas nor Stephen had fear. Why? Because they had already run to the Lord of creation. They'd already run to the God of Calvary. They had already run and asked him to save them. Friends, this is our God. And there's a verse in the New Testament which says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't ignore what's going on in the Caribbean. Don't forget what happened at Calvary. Don't pretend that you can cope without a Savior. The Lord of creation is the God of grace who says to you, no matter how you've blown it, as a total unbeliever or as a Christian this morning, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Friends, this is the power of our God today. I want to develop this theme again this evening as I look at the power of God in our lives, in our hurts, in our obsessions, in our addictions. How do we cope with life in the presence of such a great God? But this morning, my concern is, where are you? Are you in the teeth of the storm? Or are you held in that hand which holds this world in his power? You must answer. And I beg of you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.